this time, I will introduce our first speaker, Eddie P.
My name's Eddie, and I'm an addict.
Eddie.
We managed to get a basic text on loan from Hotels and Hospitality, so I thought I'd read the beginning part of the chapter, What Can I Do, since this is, after all, the What Can I Do workshop. What Can I Do? Chapter 5. Begin your own program by taking step 1 from the previous chapter, How It Works. When we fully concede to our innermost selves that we are powerless over our addiction, we have taken a big step in our recovery. Many of us have had some reservations at this point, so give yourself a break and be as thorough as possible from the start. Go on to step 2, and so forth, and as you go on, you will come to an understanding of the program for yourself. If you're in an institution of any kind and have stopped using for the present, you can, with a clear mind, try this way of life. Upon release, continue your daily program and contact a member of NA. Do this by mail, by phone, or in person. Better yet, come to our meetings. Here you will find answers to some of the things that may be disturbing you now. If you're not in an institution, the same holds true. Stop using for today. Most of us can do for 8 or 12 hours what seems impossible for a longer period of time. If the obsession or compulsion becomes too great, put yourself on a 5-minute basis of not using. Minutes will grow to hours and hours to days, so you will break the habit and you will gain some peace of mind. The real miracle happens when you realize that the need for drugs has in some way been lifted from you. You have stopped using and have started to live. So I was cramming for this. I wanted to make sure that I could sound good up here, so we got the basic text. We're sitting up there, you know, reading through it, trying to pull out the best stuff we can. And this chapter is really neat. What it occurred to me is that I've been to a lot of meetings, and I kind of, like, if you go to a meeting regularly enough, you get to know the people there, and you get to know them by sight, and you can walk in and see, oh, all the regular folks are here, and then you also get to know the people who are new that are just walking in. And what I've gotten to see is a lot of people come in, kind of check things out, look around, maybe, you know, get a couple of hugs or something like that, listen real carefully to what everyone has to say, you know, and then take off and never come back again, you know. And sometimes it's people that come in, you know, and it's not a question of not being made welcome or anything like that, you know, given a good welcome, taken out to eat afterwards, something like that. But it always seems like there's this sort of like leap that people have to make between just checking it out and being a member. You know, that there's this time, this thing, this decision they make where it's like, this is now, I'm going to throw my eggs in this basket and I'm going to find out what you people have to offer because it sounds like something I want. And to me, when somebody asks me that question, what can I do? That's when they're getting ready to make that leap, you know, the leap of faith, I guess. Because this chapter talks about some interesting stuff. It talks about, real basically, it talks about the tools of our fellowship. You know, even in that part that I read there, it talks about getting a sponsor, working some steps. It talks about going to meetings. You know, this chapter mentions doing 90 meetings in 90 days. It mentions service work. It mentions the importance of sharing our feelings with people. There's a line in there a little bit later on that says the ability to face problems is necessary to stay clean, which is like, whoa, that's kind of interesting. And then the next line after that is one of my favorite lines in this whole text, is something to the effect of, if we had problems in the past, it's unlikely that abstinence will remove those problems. The way I always think about my past is like, I thought I had a drug problem and I stopped using drugs and I realized I just had a problem, you know, and I was 2 years clean before I sought my first NA meeting, but I was a basket case inside. I was going crazy upstairs. I wasn't treating people the way I wanted to be treating them. I was really afraid I was going to use again, and I desperately didn't want to, but I didn't know any other way of dealing with the stuff that was going on in my head. And so I went to a meeting and I spoke up and I asked, what can I do? I jumped in with both feet first. You know, I've heard a lot of people talking about being really afraid of this step or that step or whatever, you know, and I've had some difficulty with the steps as I've gone along, but I've been really enthusiastic from the get-go because I don't want to die. And more than not dying, I don't want to feel the way that I felt. You know, I've experienced some of the love and the warmth and the gifts of recovery, you know, and I don't want to go back, you know. So that this chapter tells me what I can do to not have to not have to be there again, to not have to do that, you know. And it's real simple stuff. And we're talking before the meeting about, you know, I go to a couple meetings a week, you know, and I hear a lot of the same stuff. It's like, go to meetings, get a sponsor, talk about your problems. You know, and sometimes I get to thinking, man, why don't you guys tell me something I don't know? You know, and I get real attitude, you know, and I wonder why I'm not feeling so connected with the meeting. You know, and then when stuff goes wrong at work, I wonder why it's really keeping me up at night, you know, and I wonder why I'm really having a hard time getting over something somebody said to me 2 weeks ago, you know, and then I wonder, you know, and I think, well, maybe I should call somebody and talk to them about it, and then I think, I don't really want to talk to anybody about it, you know, I can deal with this, I'm a big kid, I can deal with this, and so I try to stuff it inside and I internalize it, you know, and then 2 weeks further down the road, I'm really surprised when I'm breaking things out of anger, or I'm crying for no reason at all, or I'm driving really fast. You know, and it's like this weird way that my emotions have of coming back to haunt me if I don't deal with them, you know. So I guess it's my continuing process of learning that the ability to face problems is necessary to stay clean, you know, and face problems and not just make them go away. I like to, sometimes I like to joke around when I share. I like to, you know, come in and say, you know, well, when I was using, I had problems, but now I don't have any. Everything's, you know, it used to be horrible, and now it's wonderful, and thank NA for God, and thank God for NA, and that's all I've got. I just want to share this love and warmth with you people. But honestly, some days I have problems, you know. I have big problems that I need to deal with, and I need to be able to share them, you know. And meetings give me a chance to do that, you know. I like the fact that we're a small group in here. This is kind of cool, you know. I'd love to be speaking to 15,000 people, and everyone's chanting hallelujah, and can I get a witness and that sort of thing. But man, I'm from the primary purpose area of East Central Illinois, and we're a really cool area, but we're pretty small, you know, pretty tight-knit area. And, I mean, this would be a big meeting in Champaign, you know. And I kind of like that. I've been doing small town recovery for a while, you know, dealing with much smaller meetings. And sometimes when I get in the big meeting with the 4,000 people, you know, I get kind of nervous. I want to sit with my back to a wall and just watch everybody, you know. The World Convention last year kind of freaked me out, you know. I like big meetings, but I really like small meetings too. You know, it feels a little bit more intimate. And sometimes I wonder, it feels strange to be up here behind a podium. It feels awfully formal, I guess. I was wondering before the meeting, you know, I was maybe a little bit disappointed. It's like, man, this is, you know, there's only going to be, you know, 15, 20 people there. And what I realized, and this is something I realized a while ago, was that, man, I walk into a meeting today and I feel full. Like, I don't care if there's two of us there. When I look in somebody's eyes and I say, this is what I'm going through, and they nod and they say, wow, I've been through that too, you know, I feel full inside, and I don't care how many people are in the meeting. You know, I don't care how many people are in the room. And that's kind of neat. But I keep, anyway, to kind of bring it back to what can I do, because I like the idea that we've got this theme that I can talk about, and I don't have to sit here and tell you guys about what I think and how I feel, you know, because I'd love to sit here and spin my self-centered stuff. But anyway, the what can I do chapter also includes some stuff about service work, which I thought was really neat. It ends talking about service work. Because there's a real important message there, and it happens throughout our text of carrying the message to the addict who still suffers. You know, and we do that in a lot of different ways, and one of the ways we do that is by showing up at meetings and sharing our stuff and reaching out to people who walk in the door, you know, and not just saying, oh, you're new? Well, you know, I hope you stay, but whatever. I mean, we genuinely reach out to people, you know, how you doing? Come on in, have a seat, you're welcome here, you know, try to show them the ropes. But that's one way of carrying the message, but that's kind of, sometimes I think that's sort of the more glamorous way of doing it. And I'd love to be the one who, you know, sits there and, like, I'm going to pull you out of the fire, and I'm going to dust you off, and I'm going to, you know, build you up again, that kind of thing. I'd love to do that kind of one-on-one thing all the time, but there's other stuff that needs to get done. Since I've come in, I've sort of gravitated towards quieter service positions. I had to be coffee maker of a meeting for a year. You know, all I did was come in, set up chairs, and make coffee. And I don't know if anyone liked the coffee or didn't like the coffee or anything like that. I did it, you know, and it kept me coming to that meeting every week for a year. You know, and that was really, really important for me, because that was another step in that sort of another bit of that sort of leap between I'm just checking you guys out. And man, I'm a member of this group, and I'm a member of this fellowship, you know, because I come and because I contribute, you know. And the cool thing about that, you know, and it just kind of blows me away when I think about it, is that that I don't have to, there's no like bar I have to jump across. There's no, I don't have to be good enough or smart enough or fast enough or funny enough or lovable enough, you know. I just have to be able to move chairs or make coffee or hug somebody or say hello, you know. Things like that I can do, you know. And I'm the secretary of our area now, and all it requires is that I can read and write, you know. And that's and that's kind of cool, and it's not a glamorous job. I take minutes of a business meeting, you know, and I try to keep people informed as to what's going on, you know. It's not a terribly important, it's an important job, but it's not a terribly glamorous job. You know, I'm not out there with the NA SWAT team kicking in the door of the crack house, come on, you people are going to a meeting with me, you know. And I'm not, you know, I'm not sitting in a meeting pounding on the table, you know, throwing the basic text at people, you know. But it is a way that we get the message carried. One of the things we recently did in our area was we got our area service committee put up billboards. We put up NA billboards. You walk out of the front door of this restaurant, you look up, there's an NA billboard. It says, problems, drug-related, call Narcotics Anonymous. Got our helpline number on it. You know, it's like, wow, we're out there, you know, we're spreading the word, you know, and that's kind of exciting, you know, and that kind of thing doesn't happen because somebody comes into a meeting and throws down and carries a great message and saves a newcomer. You know, that kind of thing happens because a group of addicts get together in a church basement to talk about how are we going to spend this money that comes in from the donations every month, and how's our public information committee going to do this. You know, so service work is really important for me in staying clean, because I've also gotten plugged into this fellowship of people that do service work, you know, that are the members, you know, and that's really important to me in my recovery. So I guess in summary, the What Can I Do chapter, it outlines the tools of our fellowship, you know, and that's real important. It's real important for me to have that somewhere, because I'm stupid and I forget, you know, and sometimes I actively try not to remember. You know, I don't want to hear about love and patience and faith and humility and tolerance and calling my sponsor and going to meetings and doing service work. I don't want to hear about any of that stuff. I want to hear about, man, how do I earn more money? You know, how do I make myself more attractive to women? How do I, you know, get a better car? You know, I have real specific problems that I want the answers to, and sometimes I resist the fact that the spirit that they all come back to this spiritual problem with a spiritual solution. Another line in here: self-obsession is at the core of our disease. You know, that's why I want to keep, you know, I keep wanting to get, you know, the car and the girl and the money and the this and the that. And so it's important for me to keep in touch with to remember what I need to do to stay clean. Because sometimes I think I know, because it's been working for me, you know. The number one thing, I just have to not use, you know, that's fine, you know. But abstinence doesn't necessarily equal recovery, you know. And I took that leap of, like, between I'm just checking this place out because I think it might be able to solve my problems, and I'm a member of this fellowship, you know, and I try to practice these principles in my life, you know. And for me, it's been nothing short of miraculous, you know. Coming up on 10 years clean, I'm in graduate school, I'm getting ready to graduate, doing real well at that. I'm out in Illinois, you know, something I never would have thought of, you know, moving halfway across the country to go to school. You know, I've gotten plugged into a really neat network of people out there, met a lot of people, gotten to go to some really, really awesome conventions and NA events and stuff like that. Slowly but surely, I feel like I have a home, and it's in this program, you know. And the only reason that I got that is because I was willing to stick my hand up and say, hey, guys, what can I do? I want to know what I can do to stay clean, to live, to grow. Because I hear people talking about all these great things, and I see the laughter, and I see the friendships, and I see, you know, all this stuff. And sometimes, last night, I was really feeling like I'm on the outside looking in. You know, like those people that are walking down the street looking into the restaurant, watching you eat, you know. I felt like one of those people with my face pressed up against the glass, really hungry, but I can't come inside. And I get that way. I feel that way in NA, in recovery, you know. And I felt that way when I first came in. I saw these attractive, happy people laughing and joking with each other, and they were friends, and they had this light in their eyes that I couldn't believe, and I wanted it. I wanted it really badly, you know. But I didn't think that I was allowed to have it for whatever reason, you know. But just by that simple act of sticking my hand up and asking, hey, what can I do? And they said, make some coffee. You know, they said, you know, set up the chairs. You know, we need someone to take minutes of this meeting. You know, and when I felt like it wasn't enough, I stuck my hand up again and said, hey, I could do more. You know, tell me more. You know, and I have a sponsor and I ask him, what can I do? You know, what can I do to get over this stuff that's going on in my life? You know, so for me, that's really kind of the basis of my recovery, because this program is not for those who need it. It's for those who want it, you know, and that's something I had to learn really early on, that lots of people I love really could use some damn recovery, you know, but until they walk into a meeting and say, hey, what can I do? I can't shove this text down anyone's throat, you know, and if I do, I sound like a sanctimonious bastard, you know, and they probably aren't ever going to come to a meeting because they're like, oh, they're going to preach at me, you know. And it says in here, it says in this chapter, we don't preach and we don't judge, we offer experience, strength, and hope, you know. So this has been my experience, strength, and hope with what I can do and what I have done and what I'm still doing today to stay clean and to grow in recovery, you know. And like I said, the results are nothing short of miraculous. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you.
I'm an addict. My name is Catherine.
Hi, Catherine.
And now I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Wanda C.
My name is Wanda C.
Hello. I will. I'll say that for the mic. My name is Wanda and I'm an addict.
Hi, Wanda.
And I'm really honored to be here. You know, somebody said at 9 o'clock in the morning, you know who wants recovery, huh? You know, we all could have stayed in the bed. The ocean was real good this morning. You know, I came in like Eddie, cramming. What can I do? I don't know. What can I do? What do you want me to talk about? I do a lot of speaking, you know. One of the things I do, because it's early in the morning, can you just smile at me? Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Okay, I feel better. I do a lot of speaking, and speaking sometimes comes easy for me, and sometimes it comes hard for me. Dealing with what can I do, it odds me when I talk to addicts, and I do a lot of service work. I do a lot of first-hand service work, like I go into the treatment centers a lot. I got an ongoing 12-step group that I do every week, and you know, people always call me and say, so-and-so used. And I go, addicts use, you know. That's what addicts do, you know. I don't know why you're surprised an addict use. The miracle is when addicts don't use, you know. And we in Narcotics Anonymous represent the miracle. We don't use. But we had to come in here, like Eddie said, and make some decisions. What can I do? Sub-obsession dogged my life, my entire life, from a little girl to today. It dogs my life. What did I say to make everything go wrong? Why did they look at me when nobody's thinking about me? What, you know, self-obsession dogs my life. And when I got here, when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, I did everything to not come in here and sit down and let you people tell me how to stop using drugs. I wanted to do it my way. I changed towns. I changed lovers. I changed clothes. I changed drugs. I changed everything. I just didn't want to come in here and say, what can I do to get clean, you know? And I remember for me, what I had to do was come in a room, tell you all I didn't like you, tell you all I hated you all, tell you I hated you all because you all were clean and I couldn't get clean, you know. But I sat still. And I admitted somewhere, like the text said, down in the inside of me, that I couldn't stop using on my own. And although I really didn't trust that you all knew anything, right? Because I told you self-obsession, I knew everything, right? I didn't trust that you all knew anything. The very fact that you all stayed clean longer than me meant y'all had something that I didn't have. You know, and that's as simple as it had to be for me. You know, somebody said if you keep coming to meetings, you'll stop using. Some people say, I came to meetings and I kept using and one day something clicked in my head, huh? Somebody said, I just kept coming to meetings and I got into service work. And because I had a service position, I stopped using. And somewhere I read, one day somebody lost a service position and they started using. So, you know, the spiritual aspect of this program is still beyond my understanding, right? I just know that when I said, what can I do? It got real easy for me to open the door for y'all to help me. Because, see, I'm the addict that you could have prayed over and you could have baptized, huh? And you could have did all of that stuff and I still would have used, you know? I went to church with the works in my pocketbook, huh? Getting ready to leave to go get high. I got baptized so many times. It didn't make any sense. I just thought that maybe something would happen when I went down or when somebody laid hands on me that down on the inside, it would change my perspective, right? But in the literature, it says that my reality won't change. I just have to change my outlook on reality. And although I wanted everybody to realize that I was really serious about getting clean this time, they didn't want to hear that. I had done so much damage. My mama said, yeah, right, okay. You know, I'll see for myself. And it took a long time, for real. It really took a long time for people to look at me and say, she's really serious this time. But let me tell you the other part. It took a long time for me to realize I was really serious this time. Because I was the addict that didn't trust that I was going to stay clean one day at a time. You know, and I think when you talk about what can I do, the honest part of it is that we deal with self-obsession. And that's the word that got me this morning, Addie. Self-obsession because I got some clean time today. I got a little status in the community today, huh? Got a little money, little car, and my addiction knocks on my door like it's, you know, like it's yesterday. Hello, you want to try a little crack? No, not today. You know, and you think, what day is it going to happen that that's not going to, you know, that's not going to dog you? Well, my sponsor and Life on Life Terms reminds me that I'm the same addict that was allowed to get some years clean and didn't do the tools, the work, and went back to active addiction. Huh? But when I got here this last time, I came in running. Because it didn't matter anymore that my father was an addict. It didn't matter anymore that my baby father was an addict. It didn't matter anymore all the excuses that I had that kept me using. Somewhere I had to make a decision. What can I do to stay clean? And I was scared to death. I was scared of everything. And the biggest thing I was scared of was me. You know, because it was me that was crawling around looking for rocks, huh? It was me that kept trying to find a vein when I was too high to even see, huh? It was me that kept doing that to myself, and nobody else but the ghosts of those people were around. And I couldn't get the ghosts out of my head. So in order for me to get anywhere to the second step, third step, fourth step, I had to first make that conscious decision that I was powerless man over my addiction. And every time I used, my life became unmanageable. And that was the biggest step of my life. You know, the biggest step of my life. And I got a sponsee, and I knew I was going to say something about her. She took her phone off the hook. You know how we do. Answer machine don't come on. And I know she uses it. I know it, right? And she always comes back off her runs and says, phew, you know, I really got to detox and this. And I says, detox? You ain't never stopped using. You know? But I'm there for her because I'm real clear that addicts use. I don't beat up an addict that uses. I encourage an addict that's not using, but I'm not going to kill an addict that's still using. You know, because I know it's nothing but the grace of God that allows me to stand here. And when she honestly asks me, what can I do? And she does. I remember somebody said to me when I was in active addiction, do 90 minutes in 90 days. I said, what? I ain't even going to one meeting one day, you know. And what was real clear, I wasn't going to no meeting. When I was using, on Thursday, my boyfriend got paid, and Thursday I went to the meeting. somewhere in my mind, I knew I needed Narcotics Anonymous, but somewhere in my reservation, I knew I wasn't ready to stop using. And that's the beauty of this program, that you don't have to stop using. You can keep on coming up in here, but the grace that allowed us to stand behind this podium, if you keep coming back, it's going to work for you. I don't know how this thing works. I just know that if I follow the steps and I keep coming back, one day I'm going to be relieved from active addiction. I don't know how it happened. I don't know what day I stopped being afraid that I was going to chase down a rock boy. I don't know what day that happened. I know one day I looked up and I had 90 days clean. And in that first year, I wouldn't let anybody get close to me. In my first 90 days, I kept raising my hand saying I had a year clean, right? I got my 90 and something kicked in and said, I want my chip. But I had perpetrated, so I couldn't tell nobody, I thought. But I remember crying, saying, excuse me, y'all, ain't none of y'all used with me. And if I go back out today, ain't none of y'all going with me. And I only got 90 days clean, and I want my chip. You know? And they looked at me, and they gave me my chip. And the old timer told me, your recovery just began, because you got honest with you. You know, one of the things that happens for us once we get some clean time, we stop remembering that this is an inside job, huh? You know, we get the man that thinks we cute, you know. Folks, you know, call your name and hug you when you go in the meeting, you know. You're not a newcomer no more. You got a little money in the bank. You can go to the ATM machine today and not spend it all on crack. You know, you got a little status in the community. And at some point, you think that validates you and you're doing real good. But I've come to find out that can get me drunk too, huh? I got a schedule that any good addict should not keep, right? I go from speaking to speaking to speaking to speaking. And this weekend, I made a conscious decision to clear my calendar, and this was the only speaking engagement I was going to keep, you know, because I needed to stop. From the old school, they say if the devil can't stop you, he'll push you overboard, you know, and I was running myself overboard. I have to remember that the same thing it took for me to get here is the same thing it's going to take for me to stay here. And the longer I stay clean, the more stuff I have to be able to deal with, you know. When I got here, my babies were 10 and 12 and 4 and 3. Now they 23 and 18 and 10 and, you know, 14. So I got big problems now. They was little problems then, right? I got major problems. And I need these steps more than I needed them before. You know, today I'm in the ministry. I'm a pastor. You know, and I still struggle with my stuff, right? I always end with that, right? Because I don't come in saying that. Because they say, well, how could you get caught up in all of that? Well, for me, that's the thing that I've been called to do, because I know that I got a program, and a lot of people who say they represent it don't have a program, and I got to rock this fine line and insanity, right? Because it's not religion, and it's not form or fashion, even for us. It's that inside job. It's that spirituality. It's the essence of doing what you say you believe in. Huh? Going to meetings is the ritual because I believe in Narcotics Anonymous. But when I get by myself, it's believing that the steps work for even me. You know, it's praying. It's calling my sponsor. It's reaching out to my network. It's the essence of what I say I believe in. And that's what get me to a meeting, huh? And the same way with church. It's not because I go to church. It's because I believe in that power that draws me in church. But folks don't understand that. So God picks people like us, right, to come in and pick this thing apart so that we can be real clear about why we're doing what we're doing. Man, I'm an addict, ain't Wanda. Thanks for letting me share. Thank you.
Before we open the meeting up to those who would like to share, please remind yourselves that when you come up to the podium, speaking to the microphone also to keep in mind that there are other addicts who are waiting to share.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Edwin. I'm definitely an addict. I caught the last part of your sharing and I enjoyed it because I too go to church. I'm a deacon in my church. And it's really important for me to keep a balance there because I am an addict. And I know for me, going up in the church shouting, saying hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, all that good stuff, and I walk right out there and use. I know I'm capable of doing that. I go to meetings on a regular basis simply so you guys can help me with my disease because I know my responsibility is to find out who I am. You can't tell me who I am and you can't help me find out who I am, but you can help me with my disease because I know my disease may attack me anywhere, any kind of way. I could be looking dead at it and it'd be gonna hit me in the back, you know. That's how my disease worked for me. And what I do is when I come into these rooms, right, and I hear people share about the various situations that they go through, I realize that that can happen to me because I hear a lot of my not yets up in these rooms, you know. And I'm just overwhelmed with being in a place like this and seeing so many people doing the same thing that I'm doing. Because for a long time, I thought I was all by myself. You know, I've gone up into meetings and felt alone and isolated and everything. But I realized today that I was doing it to myself. You know, the hardest thing for me to do today is to get honest with everyone. You know, because I'm scared of me. And I'm realizing that today, you know. It's not an easy walk. It's not an easy thing to admit to myself that I'm an addict and that I'm capable of doing some of the same things that I was doing when I was using. But today is different. It really is. The steps of Narcotics Anonymous has allowed me to get closer to God of my understanding. It has helped me to identify a God of my understanding. I don't have to say a chair or a doorknob and things like that. You know what I'm saying? I have a God today. I have a name for my God today. And I'm really honored to be here, and I'm thanking you all for being here for me, and I'll just keep coming back for that.
Thank you for sharing.
Good morning, I'm a grateful addict. My name is Peter.
Hi, Peter.
I got a lot out of what both you, everybody was sharing about. You know, the topic is, what can I do? And for me, it's about, you know, giving it back to the newcomer, because that's what this program is about, and that's what this program has taught me, if nothing else. It's about the newcomer. You know, if it means me going early to a meeting and help set up chairs, or just in this convention, you know, going to a marathon meeting to listen and ending up being asked as secretary to meeting, you know, that's what I can do today, you know, because when I was out there using, it wasn't about me asking what I can do, you know what I mean? It was about what I wanted to do for me and ways and means to get more. And today I don't have to live like that, you know, and to come in here and see all these recovering addicts trying to do the same thing I'm doing, just staying clean one day at a time, you know, it's truly a miracle. And, you know, I can relate to the church thing too because my dad's a preacher and my mom's a missionary, you know, so if anything, I should have never even chosen this path, you know, but I made my own decision. And, you know, they used to tell me, you know, don't go down the street with yo boys and don't hang out with that crowd or this crowd. But I chose not to listen. And as a direct result, it got me a seat in Narcotics Anonymous. And, you know, it's only through His grace that I'm here today. You know, I'm not going to take up a lot of time. Again, I just want to thank y'all for allowing me to share.
Thanks for sharing.
Good morning, I'm Darryl. I'm an alcoholic addict.
Hi, Darryl.
I want to thank you to you know, Ed, and I'm sorry, Walker. You know, it's strange. You know, this is like my third convention, and you know, what can I do? It's it was really, you know, it really came apparent to me. You know, just last week, I know how to I know how to go to meetings. I know how to keep myself clean a day at a time. That was the first thing that my sponsor told me. He said, you know, don't worry about doing the steps, shit, when I first came in, because I was the first day, yo, let's do the steps. He said, yo, no. What you need to do is learn how to stay clean a day at a time. How? Learn how not to use. That's the first thing. Learn how not to use a day at a time. After a while, we'll get to the steps. Don't worry about it. And, you know, I understand this because I'm like real fast. I analyze everything. I analyze everything over everything over everything. And I can analyze myself right the heck out this room. You know, kill myself, you know, before I can even see it. But, you know, I realized, you know, today that I learned a lot of patience just by coming to these rooms. And that, you know, today what I didn't do before, this is what I can do today. You know, what I didn't do before, this is my second time around. And, you know, they got involved with service work. But the main thing that, you know, it really, like, uplifted me to the point I couldn't even understand it, a newcomer called me finally. Because I've been getting out my numbers for a long time. Every meeting, you know, I see a newcomer, that's the first thing I do, boom, I go and get my number. Yo, yeah, you know, like, if you need somebody to talk to, because I knew that's what I needed. When I came around this time, I went up to people, I wouldn't grab people, yo, can I get your number, can I get your number, can I get your number, can I get your number? And I called people this time. I called people because I did not want to use. Finally, one called me. And I didn't have to, you know, preach to them, like, you know, like, I didn't want to go through a whole drug law. So I just picked something that we had something in common in. We started talking. We talked for about an hour. And I, you know, out of nowhere, it just hit me to ask this brother, said, yo, man, how do you feel? You know, I'm great. I don't want to use now. That was the best thing I could have ever heard, you know. And I knew that was, you know, that was high power working for me. I know, and today, you know, I still don't know I know hardly anything about this program. All I do know is that as long as I keep coming back and I can humble myself today, you know, on a daily basis, and I mean it too, on a daily basis, I can't forget where I came from, or else I'm going to go back. I ain't trying to do that today. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing. Good morning, my name is Sylvia and I'm an addict.
Hi, Sylvia.
And thank you for sharing, both of you. The thing that I can do today, I'm sitting here thinking, what have I done? You know, and I do a lot. I do service work, you know, I help other suffering addicts who come into the rooms, newcomers. I go into detox. I take a meeting in detox every second Friday of the month. You know, and I'm just there for people, period. You know, for the last 3 years, I've had every year we have a crab feast out of the park out of Virginia where I'm from, and I invite the treatment center. You know, and we just have fun. You know, just have fun. But the one thing that my sponsor told me when I first started coming around, you know, I immediately wanted to be like everyone else that was here before me. You know, they just seemed to be so happy and have it so together, and, you know, and they can talk well, and, you know, and they just, oh, God, I mean, you know, I just was so jealous. I just wanted to be so much like them, you know. That's, well, how can I get that way tomorrow, you know? And you just got to take it one day at a time, and that's what I had to do, you know. And I also had to start learning how to forgive myself for all the wreckage I had done in my past, you know. And I had to stop beating up on myself, and I had to start telling myself positive things, you know, because I was always so hard on myself. I was harder on myself than anybody ever could be, you know, and I turned out to be my worst nightmare, you know. So I started treating myself kindly, you know, and being good to myself and know that I am worthwhile today, you know. All the good things that happened in my life today, I deserve it, you know, because I am an addict, you know. We are all special, you know, we are chosen, you know. God chose us to be here today, you know, to help one another. And I've never seen an organization like this before in my life. Never in my wildest dreams did I think that I would be in Ocean City with people like you, living and loving, you know. And I'm just, God, it's good to be alive, you know. So that's what I do today, you know. I came here yesterday. And I was anxious to get here to do service work. That's what I did. And my boyfriend signed me up again for service work today. These are the things that I do, even though I was complained about it again a little bit today because I wanted to go to a specific meeting, but that's okay. You know, I can still get it done. These are the things I do today. These are the things that I do to keep clean. I do things different from what I did yesterday. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing.
I'm Catherine. I'm an addict. You know, I like to share a little bit about, you know, because when I got in here, I was so angry. You know, I was so angry about what I've done to my life and, you know, being 32 years old and had done so much to myself and angry at everybody and males I had a problem with, you know, men. And you people were just hugging me, telling me to keep coming back. And those chips that they were giving out at 30 days and 90 days, you know, those kept me coming back, you know, those chips. And when I did get a sponsor, I had one early on, but I had changed sponsors because, you know, of different things that were happening. And my sponsor, you know, I would go home every night and I'll call her and my sponsor would, and telling her things like, you know, shouldn't I be in a step, shouldn't I be on step two, and things like that. And my sponsor used to tell me, who are you trying to catch up with? You know, this is no race. You don't graduate from this, you know. And then she asked me again, who are you trying to catch up with? I said, well, this young lady that came in about a month before me, she's on step three, and you know, and this and that. But she said, Catherine, you just take your time, you know, just for the day, just learn, you know, how not to use. And, you know, and it made sense. She said, this is no race. You don't, you know, you just don't get there overnight. And everybody that's in the rooms when you go, you know, each of them are addicts and alcoholics. And you remember that they didn't get there overnight. It's a process, you know. And those kind of things helped me. And what I do today is I went to a transitional house for 6 months. And this transitional house, I left and I went into an SRO, a senior room occupant. That, which is under the same organization. It's a nonprofit organization. And today I'm back at the same transitional house as an innkeeper, you know, and I know that it's God's will and not mine, you know. See, I always had this dream of being a bus driver, you know, driving Metro or something, you know. And today it's like God is just putting me where he wants me, and my term is up in the light in July. And right now I'm at a point of, what am I going to do, you know, what can I do, you know, and I'm praying about that, asking my higher power, you know, just to guide me. And you know what, me and a girlfriend of mine came down Ocean City together, and we had signed up to be a secretary, you know, and out of all these thousands of people that probably signed up, we were chosen, you know, and I said, it's nothing out of order, you know, I'm right where I'm supposed to be, you know, and I just thank God for the opportunity to be here and to be a vessel for him, you know. And with that, I want to thank all those who have shared. And could someone come up and read just for today for me?
My name is Rachel. I'm an addict.
Hey, Rachel.
It's kind of scary. Just for today. Tell yourself. Just for today, my thoughts would be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Tell yourself, just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Tell yourself, just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Tell yourself, just for today, for NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Tell yourself, just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using, and will find a new way of life. So as long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear.
Oh, thank you. Will you please take a moment of silence and follow by the serenity prayer?
Keep coming back. Work should be working. Come on, God.
All right.